This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Mike Somich coming to you here on a Sunday. We're going to get in trouble because we're going to sing a song that we can't. So we don't have the rights to sing into the microphone, but boy, it's a catchy tune that you hear right before you come into the studio.
I got to say, casino music, like top level, lives in your head.
You know what they do here at Circa, because it's 21 and over, is they play the unedited versions of the songs.
They do.
So you will catch a curse word walking through here every now and then. But here's the thing. It's the way that the song was intended to be heard.
They also play right into nostalgia. Every casino does this, but especially Circa, because it is 21 and over. They're just attacking my mid-90s vibes that they're going on. And they'll bleed into the early 2000s. I know every word to every song. And so if you're playing craps here, if you're playing blackjack here, you can't help but sing along because you had to a little bit of booze. You're kind of it's kind of like a karaoke style environment. You're winning some money, having a good time, and it's just the bangers from high school.
It is. I'm sitting here walking in, and you were literally, as we're coming on air, you're singing in my head. I was doing the exact same thing. I was singing the exact same song here. That was me just killing a little bit of time before I go. I lost every baseball bet yesterday, every single one of them.
I went 4-1.
Did you see?
We're picking each other up.
I lost every single baseball bet yesterday. That said, it's one of the deals where we often talk about, the process over the results or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? Soroka has been really good and he's just been very unlucky. And then you go and you look and they lost 8-2 and you go, Matt, that was a horrible handicap. And then you see that Soroka went 6 innings, gave up 2 hits,
yep,
1 walk, 5 Ks and 1 earned. And that was the handicap.
Yep.
And it just, he continues to be unlucky. Bullpen comes in, obviously just completely blows it. And that's the way that one turns out.
At some point, I will convince you to start betting first fives.
Yeah.
To me, it's such a cheat code in baseball, because we sit here and we handicap starting pitchers for hours and then people bet full games. And I'm just why are we betting on the bullpens? Why are we betting on these managers making rational changes during the game? I just want to bet on what I can control, what I know. And that's the first five innings for me.
Yeah, it's, the deal in that one specifically.
I mean, it would have mattered in that game.
The Angels bullpen is also terrible.
It is.
So, you can get to them with that as well. But yeah. And then Mariners, same deal. Wu had an unbelievable start. Great. Everything's rock and roll. They lose in the 10th inning. So it's just, it is what it is.
How about that, not to jump ahead of everything else we're going to talk about, how about the 10.5 total juice to the over in the Yankees-A's game?
Yeah. They're going to, I'm assuming weather issues there. I'm guessing.
No. It's clean. Huh? Yeah, guess what? I've got an underbet coming a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, telling you, that is just, that's something else. Well, we'll dig in a little bit further into this weather situation. Last night, UFC 317, Ilia Topuria goes out and just knocks out Charles Oliveira in the first round. It was Topuria is pretty special dude, and you can see the power that he has and how well-rounded he is in everything that he does, and you've got a guy here that, in that pound for pound, he actually asked for it. I mean, I don't think he's going to need to ask for it there, Mike. He's like, I want more respect in the pound for pound rankings, and he's definitely going to get them. It was a very, very impressive performance from him.
Yeah, his opponent's eyebrow respects him. I'll tell you that much. I mean, that thing got cut pretty good. It was a devastating elbow that got him to the floor in the first round there. Fun night of fights, I got to say. I was playing poker, so I was over in a casino down here downtown. They had the fights on, and there were some bangers, man. I mean, we had, literally my Twitter was blowing up, best fight of the year.
Yes.
Two prior to that.
Yeah, so that was the fight that we talked about. So we did get that home yesterday. Josh Van, we talked about that at the end of the show yesterday. He gets the win in what was just an absolute, him and Brandon Royval. I mean, if you didn't see it, I would pay for it to watch it again. I mean, it was 15 minutes of absolute chaos in there. It was such an incredible fight.
Well, one of the things we always talk about in boxing, it can get boring, right?
Yeah.
Because they just kind of stand there, they dance, they don't really swing. These two guys just swung for 15 straight minutes and connected and just kept getting wobbly and then not, and then just more swings. It was entertaining.
Yeah, it was the most amount of significant strikes landed in that weight class in a fight, and you can tell why whenever you watch that fight, because it was dudes just getting lopped over and over and over and over again. But when it's all said and done, Van does get the win there in that one. So good for us with that. So Shohei Ohtani goes out, and this is something that we have tried to guess, Mike, as to what's going on with him. He, it seems to me, I guess, we're just going to be looking at 30 pitches, for the near future. I guess if we're trying to handicap this,
yep,
it is basically we just have to assume 30 pitches. If it gets more than that, then okay, so be it. But it seems like that's where they're at.
Yeah, it feels like they're not really stretching him out much right now. And I think that's to your point, right? 28 pitches in the first outing. He had 18 pitches in the second outing. He threw more than the 18, obviously, here in the third. Goes, ends up going two innings. From a betting perspective, there's two parts of this. First off, Kasperius, who you discussed yesterday, he's the pitcher that's coming in after Otani. He's pretty good. So I don't mind. He got blown up yesterday. But I don't mind betting the Dodgers when it's Otani, even though you know you're only getting a couple innings. The second part is the books have no clue what to do with K-prop. Mm-hmm. We talked about this yesterday. It was set at 2.5. It got juiced heavily to the under. Never in doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, never even close to a concern. And if he's going to throw 27, 28 pitches, and we're sitting at 2.5, you're at best getting two innings, and they've already shown they'll just take him out after one if he gets to the point where they think he's going to go over the 30-pitch mark in two anyway. It's 2.5, I'm going to be betting the under Ks until he proves me wrong, which he will eventually.
Yes.
Right? He'll throw 50 pitches, and I'll lose a bet.
And that's what we said. Until we see it with our own eyes, we just have to assume. I mean, he goes 27 pitches yesterday. A clean outing for him. They could have, in theory, put him out there for that third inning and, in theory, got him to that 40-ish pitch count or something like that. Chose not to. So I just assume, moving forward, until I see it with my eyes, we're going to get about 30 pitches. That's what we're getting. And that might only be one inning.
Yeah, it might. Well, that's the thing. It's also like if you're going to get just one or two innings, you're facing the top three or top six hitters in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So you're also facing the meat of the order here as well. Like he did top out at 102 yesterday.
I don't know if you know or not. That's fast.
That's very fast.
Yeah, that's fast.
I'm going to keep saying this. Like, put the dude in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I just have him. And I realize it's hard because he hits as well. And so you can't actually go to the bullpen and warm up and all that jazz. I as a setup man or a closer, I think he is devastating. And they have enough starting pitching talent when healthy that they have the luxury of doing that.
Yeah, dude, 102 miles an hour.
It's fast.
Humans are not meant to throw 100.
Do you think he's throwing harder right now because he knows he's only throwing 30 pitches?
Yeah, that would be my guess. My guess would be if when he knows he's going to, that might be our clue
when as to when he's down.
As to when he's going to go a little bit further is if he's living more 98, 99. Because he knows, I'm going 50 pitches today.
I've got to have a little bit more in the tank a little bit later in the start. Yeah.
That could be a tell. But you have to be watching the game live and you have to see the radar gun and all the different
And then you have to have like the strikeout prop live available as well.
LeBron is already rich, but he is richer today.
Not surprised.
As he has opted in for his $52.6 million player option. So he will be back one more season with the Lakers. And apparently, according to the headline, is monitoring what they are doing in the offseason.
Well, that's great. Now you're stuck. So monitor away, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I did not think he was not coming back.
No, it made no sense for him not to come back. I mean, there were some headlines talking about him declining the player option, possibly signing a new contract with the Lakers, or the Lakers trying to move on from him and sending him to Cleveland, or him ending up in Cleveland. It never made any sense, man. Yeah. Like his son's on this team. He loves LA. He wants to be in LA. I think he could have ended up there for less. We'll put it that way. I think he would have rather been in LA than any other city in America.
Yeah. We were monitoring the golf tournament yesterday and there is really, there's not much to say here with this one. I mean, you look in the top of this leaderboard, it is a 2-stroke lead right now for Pottguider, but he shoots 65. Graysman shoots 66. Knapp shoots 66. Hubbard shoots 67. Putnam shoots 69. You got Kirk that shot 69. Goddard shoots 65, 67. I mean, there's ridiculous scores all over the place. So,
well, but Matt.
Yeah.
Maybe today it'll play a little harder. Oh, wait.
Wait, Harry Higgs is 7-under on the day.
And Batia's already in with 7-under as
well. Hideki is 3-under through 6. Goddard up is 3-under through 4.
Maybe it won't play any harder.
It just kind of is what it is. And, you know, we'll deal with it here. One of the things that we'll be hearing a lot of over the next 24 hours is this thing going on with Malik Beasley. According to Shams, this is a... allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, according to him in all of this. And, you know, look, we've talked about this a million times, right? We are gamblers. We love to gamble. However, if someone said, hey, I'm going to pay you 8 figures and you can't gamble anymore, I would be like, sounds good.
Deal.
Appreciate it. Like, I love betting more than anyone. I love sports betting. Here's 8 figures. Don't sports bet. You got it.
Well, you
sounds
know,
great.
Here, let me even shorten that. here's eight figures. Don't sports bet on the sport you're playing. Like, you can go ahead and bet the NFL.
Right.
You can go ahead and bet baseball. Just don't bet NBA games.
I mean, it's I have absolutely no sympathy for this. Like, none. At the very beginning of all of this, I did go on the rant and the tirade, and you and I were both on the whole deal of when they were trying to say that you couldn't bet on a facility, you know, at the facility, and there was a guy who it was Jameson Williams was in the cold plunge tub and made a college football bet, and they're like, oh no, sorry, whatever.
You can't bet on in the hotel on road trips.
Yeah, and all this stuff. I'm like, come on, guys. Now that you're getting a little crazy. This straight up, if you were betting on the sport and you were betting on the props, Mike, I have no sympathy whatsoever. If they end up banning him from the league, then so be it.
Yeah, and again, we're going to hear, well, this is why you shouldn't have regulated gambling. No.
Yeah.
This is why you should have regulated gambling. This gets caught because you have regulated gambling. If you're just betting overseas, if you're betting in other markets, this doesn't get caught. Because you have major corporations and watchdog sites, this now gets exposed a lot sooner than it would have been had there not been legalized gambling.
Yeah, and again, no sympathy from me here on this desk at all. And we're going to win a bunch of money at horse racing today, correct?
We are. We've got it's estimated $10 million pick six pool at Churchill Downs starts in race number six today.
So in theory, we could win $10 million.
No, the sequence isn't going to actually pay that out because it's hard.
What's the maximum we can win today, you think?
$150 million.
That is
$1 million.
$150 million. Tanner Kern, when we come back. Ready, set, bet here on Visa.
Ready, set, bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, set, bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich as we giggle at this golf tournament here, as Hideki Matsuyama is now 4 under through seven, has rocketed up to T2 in this thing. Just to let you know how close everybody was that these guys haven't even teed off yet. There's so many guys that haven't even teed off yet. He's rocketed up to T2 already because he's destroying the course.
So do you think it's worth putting like a play in on someone like Christian Lawrence, who's sitting there T8, has not teed off yet? Like, what? I would almost rather play someone who hasn't teed off get a little bit better of a number, just because like holes are a commodity on this course because of how much people are birdieing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be any of the guys that haven't teed off yet, I would not talk you off of any of them. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's a 7 under in the house already by Harry Hicks. I mean, like, and Akshay as well. So, I mean, 7 under is out there today.
Lawrence is 22-1.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. I mean, and again, a couple of shots off, you know, a few shots off the lead.
Maybe I'll take another stab here.
Yeah.
Got a pot guider? Maybe add a little Lawrence to the portfolio.
A little sprinkle? That doesn't really matter. Let's go ahead and get that done. All right. Joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Tanner Kern. You can find his work over at DK and at Forbes. Tanner, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Rocking and rolling, my friend. Again, just preparing for heartbreak. I got a guy at the top of this leaderboard in this golf tournament. He's gonna be the one guy that doesn't go low today. I'm almost sure of it. But hey, you know, it's fun. It's fun. Golf betting's fun.
Just a warning, Tanner. Matt is the most negative golf bettor ever. He could have the top three on the leaderboard, and he's like, I'm probably gonna lose.
I mean, listen, it's just one of those. It's tough. Golf's tough to bet.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not betting golf today, but I bet on the Red Sox pretty much every day, so it's constant heartbreak as well. The Red Sox right now, but yeah, I can relate.
All right, let's get over into Major League Baseball. Mariners and the Rangers going at it today, and you are not looking at a side here, but looking at the total.
Yeah, so I'm going to be on the under of 8.5 in this game. At first glance, you look at the pitchers, they both struggled a little bit this season. Luis Castillo has not been great on the road or just in general. Jack Leiter has just not been great in general either. 4-5, 4.55 ERA, 1.32 whip. But when I look at the Texas Rangers offense, that's been the most confusing part of this team, right? 24-17 at home, but just have not found consistent swings at all this season. Batting 227 as a team, only 82 home runs, 294 OBP as a team. I mean, this is a club that was in the World Series a couple of years ago and now, you know, really struggling to find themselves. So I don't trust Texas going against Luis Castillo. I think it's going to be a day where he can really find himself, limit Texas's runs. I do expect Seattle to put up numbers against Leiter. I just don't think it's enough to get over this 8.5 line. You know, I would love to get a 9 if it was out there, but I'll take the 8.5.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I thought that Castillo should have a pretty good game here against the Texas offense that has struggled, and I consider the Seattle minus 125 side. I can get him first five as well, because I do trust Castillo a lot more than Leiter based on what we've seen from him so far this season. Now, you've got to play here, and I got to say Mother Nature helping us out, because this one would have started right before the segment, but we've got a rain delay there in Kansas City right now, so still on the board. We've got the Dodgers taking on the Royals. What do you like in this one?
Well, I got the Dodgers at opening minus 110 before they announce a starting pitcher, just because when you can get the Dodgers at minus 110, you always take the Dodgers for that price. Now it's up to minus 130. I still really like it. It's going to be a bullpen game for Los Angeles today. Lucharino is going to start for them. He pitched on Friday against Kansas City, went 1 2/3 innings, only gave up one hit, one strikeout. Bottom line is the Dodgers pitching staff does not matter in this game. The offense trumps anything that Kansas City can do. When you look at the Dodgers offense, they're batting about 20 points higher in average. They're batting or has 40 points higher in OBP. I mean, the home run number difference is just amazing here. Dodgers 131 homers on the season, Kansas City 58. The Royals are another team kind of like the Texas Rangers that you just can't figure out what they're going to do offensively. Some days they're going to go off, other days, and the majority of the days they're going to be quiet. So I do think just the Dodgers offense is too much here. I don't care if Bubic is on the mound. As good as he's been with the 2.18 ERA and the 1.1 pre-whip, I think Los Angeles' offense can get to him a little bit and then find a way to convert against that bullpen later in the game.
Talking to Tanner Kern. Tanner, before we get off of Major League Baseball and talk to you about some NFL, what do you make of this this Yankees team, this kind of swoon that they are in right now? Half a game now up on the Rays, only three up on the Jays. And, I mean, it's not crazy, seven back the Red Sox. Do you think it's still the Yankees in this division, or do you think they're going to need to be really aggressive at the trade deadline?
Well, I give credit to the Red Sox. I mean, that was the team that kind of knocked them off their path a little bit when they swept them, and then the Yankees just couldn't figure it out. I think when you look at New York, they're so centered around Aaron Judge, especially right now. We're seeing the offense just struggle consistently. And if Aaron Judge doesn't hit, they have a hard time getting going. You know, we go back earlier in the year, Garrett Cole not being able to play this season for New York, like that hurts their pitching staff. I do think they need definitely another piece offensively. I think they could use another piece in the starting rotation too, as well, as good as some of those guys have pitched. But, you know, New York Yankees have a ton of talent. I think they're more talented than every other team in the American League East. Credit to the Tampa Bay Rays. They always figure it out. But just looking at the American League as a whole, the Yankees can probably get by not adding a whole lot. I do think they're going to struggle with Detroit if we got that matchup in the ALCS. But I think it's the Yankees division to win right now. But, you know, even going back a week ago when they were starting to fall, you were getting really good prices on the Rays, Blue Jays, and you're still getting a good one on the Red Sox right now if you do think someone can knock them off.
Over here at VSiN, we've got our NFL guide coming out on July 1st, so make sure you check that out. And on that note, Tanner, you've got a couple NFL futures you like. Let's start with one of the more nauseating players throughout the offseason, Aaron Rodgers. Who knows what he's actually thinking? Now it sounds like it's going to be his last year. He's headed to Pittsburgh, taking on a new offense there. Going to be interesting to see 2 years off of that Achilles injury if we see a better version of Aaron Rodgers. The offensive line not upgraded much, but you're looking to him having a successful season here from a prop perspective.
Yeah, you know, the good part about the sports books in today's world, we get loads of NFL props, season props, you know, individual team props. Like, we even can get what a round of elimination the team's going to suffer in the playoffs, right? So for Aaron Rodgers, we got a bunch of good futures on him. And I really like his touchdown line this year at 22.5. You know, people, I think, look down on what Aaron Rodgers did last season just because of the Jets record, right? They were projected to be a team that could compete in the AFC East, and it just didn't happen for them. But as an individual season, considering the man was 40 years old, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, he still threw for nearly 4,000 yards. Aaron Rodgers can still sling it around the field, and now he's going to a much more complete franchise. I know the Steelers get a lot of criticism for always losing the first round of the playoffs every single year, winning 9 games, getting in and, you know, losing in the wild card or the divisional round. But the thing about this team right now, I think Aaron Rodgers is going into a place where they have that culture. They have that system. He can still throw the football at a high level. He's got a lot of talent around him, including DK Metcalf. They're going to have a really strong run game as well, working off play action. And then Pat Freiermuth, the tight end, I think is going to have a really big year with him as well. So 22.5 touchdowns, especially with the play action they're going to work around the goal line, is not too far-fetched for Aaron Rodgers, especially what he did in New York last year with a franchise that did not know what they were doing.
If we are looking at a team that I think I have said, I've heaped praise. I would you say I've heaped praise on the Patriots?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're drinking the Patriot Kool-Aid.
I have heaped praise on the Patriots offseason, and I really do like what they did with this team. I think that we might have a functioning offense as well. I'm guessing you are of the same mindset.
I am. I'm going to be on the over of 7.5 wins here. Now, it's a little high price to pay at -160. You could also take them to make the playoffs for a really good price if that's the better way to go with it. You know, if they win 8 games, probably not make the playoffs at 8-9, but 9-8, realistically, they have a chance, especially in the AFC East. I mean, there's a lot of teams that they can beat up on in the AFC East. The Dolphins, they always struggle in Miami, but, you know, you figure you split with Ben, you could sweep against the New York Jets, and then potentially you steal one against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, if this team is as good as everyone's saying it's going to be, there's no reason they can't beat the Bills in December at home in week 15. But, you know, just looking at their schedule, they got a lot of easy wins on there. You know, the Raiders is going to be a tough game to start the season, but definitely winnable. You got teams like the Panthers and the Saints, and I think the Buccaneers will be trouble in the NFC South. But then you got the New York Giants and, you know, the Jets twice. There's a lot of teams that they can definitely beat here. And, you know, Drake May coming into his own this year, this is going to be a big year for him. You have Vrabel there now, getting that good culture. And you just added a ton of pieces in the offseason that should really help you, especially Milton Williams on the defensive front. You know, Stephon Diggs, pending, he's not partying on boats anymore if he's locked in. I think they should be in good shape. So if this team plays how they're expected to, and as far as if they match the talent with their record, they're going to win 8 games this year.
He is Tanner Kern. Find his work over at DraftKings, over at Forbes, at @TannerKern_ there on the Twitter machine. Tanner, appreciate it, and good luck.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
So we did have baseball actually going on whenever we walked into the studio today. So a quick update there on that one. We had St. Louis and Cleveland going at it. 3-0 bottom of the fifth now there in that one. Cardinals up on the Guardians, who have now fallen a game below .500, Mike.
Bats haven't been working.
Yeah,
that's been an issue for this Guardians team. They need to figure out how to get this offense turned around. Felt like we said that a lot early in the season.
Yeah,
usually like May, June, they're actually hitting the baseball as it warms up there in Cleveland, but they have been struggling.
Yeah, this is a team. They got to figure something. I mean, maybe they decide for the first time in a while they become sellers, you know?
You always think they're going to be, and then they kind of never are. Look, with the way that the Tigers are playing, I think it's time for the Guardians to sell.
I do too. I think you go in, you find something, see if you can get anything in return for next year, and come back and try to run it back. But it does not look like this team's going to get it done this year. Come back, give you the update on the PGA, and also, we're going to win some horse bets today.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for being with us here on a Sunday. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, whether it is YouTube TV, Channel 158 over on Sirius XM, our very own VSiN Watch app, or terrestrial stations across this great country of ours, as we go through and start to put together some ridiculous horse tickets and things and whatnot. But you do have a couple of baseball games you want to talk about before they get going.
Yeah, we do. We got 3 10:35 first pitches that I wanted to chat up real quick here. So Athletics and Yankees, we talked about this. We've seen 15 straight Yankees games go under. You've got Severino on the hill for the A's. He's better on the road, like significantly better when you look at the ERA home road splits. Marcus Stroman on the hill for the Yankees. I like the first 5 under. You can get this at -6, -130. You can get this at 5.5 at plus money. Give me the first 5. I'll go first 5 under 6, -130 here for Yankees Athletics. Neither of these teams has been able to hit the baseball. The Yankees struggles have been well documented. The A's kind of stink on the offensive side. They put up 7 yesterday. They've been shut out the previous 2 games. Give me under 6 here, first 5 for Yankees Athletics. Phillies Braves. I mean, this just screams wrong team favored to me, Matt. It's kind of fishy to the point where I'm almost like, do I not want to bet this? Because I don't understand why the Phillies are +130. I had the Phillies -105. Spencer Strider's getting like market respect to the Spencer Strider of years of go. He hasn't been good this year, and we haven't seen a turnaround this year, and the velocity hasn't ticked back up to what it was before he was injured. I don't think that the Braves should be -140. Like, it just seems wrong.
164.
Yeah.
At DraftKings right now. Yeah, 164. One thing I will say about this one, too, that probably favors the Phillies would be there is weather in the area mm-hmm. there in this one. So if this gets postponed, like they're not going to bring Strider back out because like, no. like they're definitely treating him a little bit differently right now. And like if he throws three innings, like he ain't coming back out.
No. And you can look up right now. We've got it on one of the TVs up here. It looks good right now in the Atlanta area, but the storms are expected to pop up at some point during the game. I played Phillies first five plus 130. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get past the difference in price, even though the line does seem fishy. And then we've got Taj Bradley on the hill against Dean Kramer. Rays versus Orioles, also a 10.35 per Fitch. Give me the Rays here, minus 120. I like Bradley more than Kramer. The underlying numbers support that as well. And it's one of those situations where I still trust this Rays offense a lot more than I trust this Orioles offense, even though they've sporadically hit the baseball a little bit more over the last couple weeks. So I'm going to take Rays first five, minus 120, Phillies first five, plus 130, and under six first five, Yankees and Athletics.
Just to harken back to our childhood, I wish I was a little bit taller because, man, these basketball contracts, Naz Reid gets five, 125, and now coming through right now, Julius Randle gets 3 years, $100 million. To stay.
People don't even like Julius Randle.
3 years, 100 mil to stay in Minnesota.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
And it's actually not a bad, like, this is the real wild comment here. It's not a bad contract for Julius Randle.
Well,
I mean, LeBron just got 52 million. Right. Like, he's getting 30 for the next 3 years.
If we're comping it out, it's like you're sitting here going, like, I mean, is he 20 million less of a player than LeBron? I mean, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. We talk about this a lot. Like, I don't mind these like middling deals, especially in the NBA where the cap consistently is going up.
I love 3 year, 100 million, middling deal.
It is a middling deal.
It's just funny. It's just like we're talking about $100 million, middling deal.
Like, that's one of those where the third year of that deal probably doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
Because you're paying him $35 million, let's say, in the third year. Maybe it's 40, depending on how the contract is structured. When the cap of the second apron is probably going to be somewhere in the 220s.
So it says player option for 27-28 season.
He's going to go ahead and take that.
So,
I mean, he's not a young chicken anymore.
Yeah.
So I bet he goes ahead and takes, like, the player option in the NBA is one of the funniest things to me. Guess what? They're going to take it.
Most,
like
they're either
going to get a massive raise or they'll go ahead and take that third year.
We said that there is a lot of money to be won. Hopefully. In horse racing today, so let's head to the track.
Saddle up, partner. Want to bet the horses with Mike Somich?
When I bet on horses, I never lose. Why? I bet on all the horses.
It's time to pony up.
Giddy up.
All right, so explain to everyone why we are chasing today.
Yeah, so there's this thing. So we always talk about specific winners and win bets, and that's the best way to be profitable in horse racing. It's not to shoot for the absolute fences. We're going to shoot for the fences today because at Churchill Downs, there is a 20-cent pick six. And this wager, you have to have a unique ticket to win the entire pool. So there's usually about $200,000 bet a day, which means there's 1 million combinations because it's a 20-cent base wager. You have to be the only person to pick all six races, and you have to have that ticket, that one ticket of the million, to be able to scoop the pool. Now, if no one scoops the pool, you roll a percentage of it to the next day, and it keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. Well, this thing is rolled. Today is the last day of the meet at Churchill Downs, which means, from a financial perspective, they have to pay it out. They cannot keep that money in their coffers until the next meet, which means there's $1.4 million that has been built up over the meet that has to be paid out today. So you essentially get to play this wager takeout free because of the money that's sitting there waiting for you.
Look at me. This is the golf clap that we get right
now. So I always knock horse racing because the takeout's big. Today, the takeout is not big, right? And so there's a couple ways to play it. You can focus on two or three horses. Take some shorter prices in there and spread out like crazy in the other legs. Try and find prices. You can play a shorter ticket because those are going to pay out. Even if it's all favorites, it pays out exponentially more than what the parlay would have paid. So it's a good day to play the Churchill Downs pick six. And on that note, I'm going to talk about two horses that I think in two races you can go short in that pick six if you would like to. Let's start out with race number six at Churchill Downs. This is the first leg of the pick six, and it's a tough sequence too because there's a lot of like middling prices and a lot of two-year-old races. So the opportunity for big improvement is there. This is the Bashford Manor for two-year-olds going six furlongs on the dirt. I'm going to go to the number seven horse here, Password. Rudolph Brissett trains, Flavian Pratt rides. This horse was thought of very highly in the first start. Didn't run that well specifically because of how it was set up. So when the first-time starter's on the rail, that's the worst possible place you can be on a racetrack, because the horse is inexperienced. It's doing something for the first time. And on one side of it, you've got a metal rail. On the other side of it, you've got, in this case, six inexperienced horses who all could do anything. So if you don't break well, if you don't break to the front, it becomes very difficult for the horse to run well. Mm-hmm. Now we're switching to the outside, which is the best place to be for a two-year-old because you've got more room. You don't have to worry about these other horses. And specifically in that first start of Churchill Downs, bad break, had to steady early, which means the horse had to, like, the jockey had to pull up a little bit so that the horse didn't get himself in trouble, and then had to rally from the back of the pack here. Looked awesome down the stretch, couldn't quite get to the win, but because of that, we're getting 7-2 on a horse that I think is going to run much better and has a significantly better post position today. So Churchill Downs, race number 6, horse number 7, Password, 7-2.
All right. And then we are looking at, so it has to be, so it'll be races 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. 20-cent base wager. So you could play it for 20 cents. You can also include more than one horse in each race. Mm-hmm. And then your wager gets a little bit more.
A little bit more expensive.
It balloons, right?
A little bit more expensive.
But you have more opportunities.
But you have more opportunities, right? Exactly. More combinations.
More combinations.
All right, so we're going to race 9.
Yeah, race 9 is going to decide the pick 6 for me. This is my single in the pick 6. It's why I wanted to make sure I talked about this mm-hmm. one. Usually don't give out horses that are 8-5 on this show. I try to find a little bit better of a price, but because today is a unique day, this is the horse I trust the most in the sequence. It's the number 7 horse, Pin Up Betty here for Mike Maker. Luis Saez rides. Saez has ridden this horse five times in the past. He's ridden the horse to 3 wins, a 2nd, and a 4th. The 4th place was in a grade 1 race at this distance. Look, Pin Up Betty just has the most class here. She stands over these horses. The favorite or the second choice is going to be on the outside. Second choice got the dream trip last time and lost to Pin Up Betty by a length and a half. This just sets up beautifully for a horse. 3rd off the layoff, actually dropping in class versus stepping up in class. Coming off of a win and a 2nd place prior, 3-5 at Churchill Downs, 2-4 with a 2nd at the distance as well. I realize 8-5, not a wonderful price. Although, you know, if I gave out a plus 160 winner in the NFL, people would be ecstatic. 8-5, not a wonderful price for horse racing, but this is a horse that I think you can lean on in the pick 6. It's going to be my single in the pick 6, the number 7, Pin Up Betty, Churchill Downs race number 9.
So he must really, really like this horse, guys, because I'm allowed to add horses to the ticket, but he goes, hey, yeah, give me some horses for race 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, and he didn't say 9. You're not allowing me to add 9.
Well, the part of the reason, so pick 6 construction, right? Every horse that Matt adds in the other races costs us $20, $30, because we already have 4 or 5 horses in those. Every horse you add to this race doubles the ticket price.
Oh.
Because you go from 1 to 2. So it doubles the cost if we add a horse in this race, whereas the horses in the other races, you're adding less amount. So that's why, like, if you want to attack the sequence, you want a single Password in the 6th, you want a single Pop-Up Betty in the 9th, and just pick names around it, you could put a good ticket together for $40-$50 because you have 2 singles.
Okay, so we are going with a single then.
We are singling.
So we are rolling the dice.
We will essentially have a like $500 to $700 win bet on Pin Up Betty.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, let's gamble. We're here to gamble today.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm okay with it. Listen, I am actually okay with it. It's just it's new. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. The juice is going to be flowing for Matt today,
guys. First bet. We talk about this all the time. If you want to bet along with Mike and everybody here at the network that is doing the horse racing stuff, VSiN200 is your code. You're going to get up to $200 in sign up bonus. And we say this each and every time. Not only can you place your bets there at First Bet, you can watch the races inside the app. Perhaps the best feature in all of that. So again, First Bet, promo code VSiN200.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Guys, don't even enter the horse racing contest. We've already won.
It's already over.
It's already over. It's already Matt and Mike here on a Sunday. I've picked some very good names of horses that are going to run fast. I just one race left for me, race 11, in which I will pick the winner in that one as well. And we will be showering ourselves with riches.
I hope you're right. I hope you pick all the winners.
Yes.
Be good for me.
Well, no, you have to pick one of the winners.
I have to pick one.
I don't have a say in race number 9.
Fair.
I do not have a say in race number 9.
Putting down the horse hammer.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, she's dropping a hammer on me. It's fine. As long as we can get all the rest of them home, it'll be fun. We'll talk some golf next segment and figure some stuff out over there, as well as everyone's. You look at this leaderboard, changes every time you look up because everybody's making birdies out there.
Speaking of getting something home, Do you think we can get one home for the Phillies here? Bases juiced against Strider, two outs in the top of the first. Come on, Phillies. Come on,
let's get something across there. Maybe a flare.
Yeah, I'll take a flare. I'll take a yachts too. So when I go yard, give me a little granny in the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, we just need
I'm greedy.
Some more wins.
Give me all four.
I went 0-3 yesterday. So, like, you know, we need some wins here for the show. Maybe Adam can give us some wins here. Adam Rosenberg joining us here on the program. And do you ever bet the ponies, Adam? Are you in on horse racing at all?
Not enough, but hearing you guys talk about it on the break, I'm just like, ooh, Pinup Betty. Like, yeah. That's such a cool name for a horse. So,
I mean,
I grew up going to that the Philadelphia track, but I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm down. Next week when I'm in town, we'll do some ponies.
I can assure you I don't know what I'm doing. I can assure you I don't know what I'm doing, but we're firing today regardless.
Matt says that. He's got, like, probably the best record in trifectas in the history of horse racing.
Probably.
I don't know. I heard your bomb one for the Kentucky Derby was fun to listen to. And then I mean, I didn't even know you had that in you. That was, I mean, it was awesome. It was just Mike Somich and his Exacta and you had all the data to back it too. It was great.
That was fun. Grew up at the racetrack. So it was the first love for me from a gambling perspective when I was like five, which is probably saying something.
When you're out there again, you can find Adam over on the Twitter machine at Hey Rosenberg Sports Gambling Podcast Network as well. So let's get into this. And this guy hits home runs very well. And you think that he might hit one today? Oh, no, this is for the season. Look at this. Oh, it's for the whole season.
I do think he'll hit one today. Yeah, he hit a single in the first. Kyle Schwarber for home run leader, guys. So 25-1 right now. He was around 8-1 when the season started. There is no doubt that Kyle Schwarber knows how to mash. He is Mr. June, and he hasn't had as big of a June as he usually does. But still, the thing is about the guys who are in front of him. Of the guys who have 20 or more, there's about 12 in the league total. He's fifth or sixth in the league. He's got the second highest no doubter rating, according to Baseball Savant, which means everything he hits crushes and probably hasn't landed yet. The guy ahead of him is Gino Suarez, who, you know, hurt his hand. We don't know, might get traded to Seattle, all sorts of things. But the guys in front of him, the Judges, the Cal Raleighs, the Otanis, they're going to probably start to get walked as things start to happen, especially Cal Raleigh, because he has absolutely no protection around him in that lineup. So Kyle Schwarber at 25-1 to lead the league in home runs, knowing that he's hit home runs from all over in the lineup. Harper's about to come back. They got a lineup that's just dangerous enough that he has protection around him. I think this is a great bet for one of the best mashers in the game.
Yeah, I love the idea of taking a shot in this market just because of Raleigh, right? And he's not hitting 60, right? And so you got to take a shot with somebody down the board there, see if you can get a little bit better of a price. Interesting play here in the next one. We've been making fun of this Rangers offense, but you're looking at a defensive prop for the Rangers here. What do you like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys have followed me, but the bet of the summer is the double play, a.k.a. the DP. So it's the bet of the summer. I've declared it, and it's a fact if you ask people. So this is a great bet. It's really great when you have pitchers that have just a high enough whip and you have teams that just cannot get the ball off the ground, because other than Cal Raleigh, most of that Seattle team can't really get the ball off the ground. So I'm going with the Rangers to turn a double play at -110. Again, like I said, it's the hottest market in the world. The Mariners have hit into the most DPs in the last 7 games, second most in the last 15 games. And Jack Leiter is third on the Rangers in inducing the most ground ball double plays. His ground ball rate's 43% in his last 3 games, 48% in his last 3 home starts. Love this. It's a real fun one. It is an electric sweat to basically watch a double play get cashed over the course of a game, because at any given time you walked a guy, oh, he better not steal. Hopefully we can get this double play going. It's a great bet.
I kind of love this because you're rooting for someone to get on base and then the offense to collapse. So you're kind of rooting for and against the offense at the same time with this prop.
I'm sitting here in my head doing the math of, like, is this a handicap of the pitcher, but also of the other team and also of the defense of the team? That's sort of like, this is like a triple handicap.
Well, and you also have like the flyer, right? Where, like, there's a dude on third. It's a short fly ball to right. Can he throw him out at home, right? There's more than one way to get a double play. So you got this. There's other exciting times in the game for you.
Oh, strike him out,
lots
throw
of ways.
Him out.
Strike him out, throw him out, lots of ways to get there.
Okay.
The liner right at shortstop, throws it over the second baseman. You can have some fun with this one.
I mean, I'm... I one, Where do you even find this bet? Like, I didn't even know this bet existed.
I didn't either.
Like where in the menu?
I was going to say. Below the fold. I dug deep. Yeah. I've been betting these for the last month and a half, and they're below the fold on a couple of the rec books, but you can find them. It's a lot of fun.
I feel like you should parlay two together. The double play, parlay.
The Angels. So it's funny because a lot of these bad teams, so the Rockies and the Angels, absolutely fantastic about inducing double plays because basically most of the season they've spent trailing games and they have these relievers who have to get guys out. So today, the Angels are -150 to turn a double play. Jose Soriano, who, by the way, I think is one of the most underrated pitchers in the league, he's the double play god. He has 20 of them induced this year. He doesn't even have that many starts. But they're usually -190 when he pitches. So I parlay them all the time. I think I have the Angels with, I did it with the Yankees because I expected Stroman to have a short outing and then they get to the bullpen. The bullpen will induce some from the A's because it was about -160, but it's a fun bet. Like I said, there's a lot of ways you get there. And I think it's an electric sweat.
Talking to Adam Rosenberg here. Rockies and the Brewers coming to us in about 20 minutes here, and you are playing against this Rocky squad.
Yeah, I'm always playing against this Rocky squad. And as I mentioned to Samich, I'm always on here hating on the Rockies. So this Rockies team is a turnstile. And Chad Patrick, I think Chad Patrick is the lesser known rookie on this Brewers team, but he leads the NL in innings pitched for rookies. He's got the most Ks for NL rookies. His K per nine is nine. He's been pretty electric, actually. A little bit of a barrel problem, but they leave him in here and he gets a 7 or 8 Ks. So I like him for 7 Ks +130, +140 at different books against this Rockies team. Everybody is striking out this team. So this to me is an easy bet, but I also would encourage folks, even though his record's below 500, there's a lot of Jacob Mrazowski love going on right now in Milwaukee. But I think that Chad Patrick's actually the better rookie pitcher on this team. So why not put down for rookie of the year for him? I'm seeing 30-1 at some places. It's a lot easier for pitchers to win rookie of the year than it is for hitters. And with him leading a lot of categories, he's got a great head start. He's got just the same stuff plus ratings as Mrazowski, but he also has way better control. So 30-1 for him to win rookie of the year, kind of carry that Brewers team, and definitely like him today for 7 Ks.
Yeah, he was awesome in April and May, struggled a little bit here in June. If he can get it back on track, someone that's definitely going to be in the conversation. Now, someone who's going to be in the conversation for the AL Cy Young, Tarik Skubal on the hill tonight for the Detroit Tigers. He's facing Chris Paddock, which is unfortunate because I love fading Chris Paddock, but there's way too big of a number attached to the Tigers.
-327.
Well, that's the problem, right? Give me a middling Tigers pitcher here so I can lay a run or something and still get a decent price. His props are all over the place. 7.5 on the strikeouts, 19.5 on the outs. Everyone loves betting some Tarik Skubal. And he's a nice setup against the Twins today. How are you looking to get some action on him?
I think this is a super shove spot for Tarik Skubal. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really been that great the last few outings. I think that some of that's calculated. He hasn't really been striking guys out. He's been right on 94 pitches each of these starts. I think that they are genuinely trying to save him. But this is a really good opportunity for him to just unleash. There are five guys out of the nine in the Minnesota lineup have 25% or higher K ratings, according to Handygraphs, in their last 30 plate appearances against lefties. In my opinion, the best pitcher in the league. And he's owned this team as well. He's gotten 8 Ks a couple of times against them. I think it's a ladder spot. First of all, you're getting 7.5 Ks for him is very low. It usually is 8.5. I think that they're going to probably shut them out. And this is a nationally televised game for him to really kind of push it to them. They have off tomorrow. Give me seven or eight innings, one run ball, 11 Ks out of Skubal tonight. I like the over 19.5 outs at plus money.
Adam, we got just a couple of seconds here, but you do have a new project that's getting going this week.
Yeah, running. I'm doing some stuff at Handygraphs, which is a site for everybody that they can use. We kind of pull in everybody else's data to put a nice little baseball dashboard, give you 30, 60, 90 plate appearances against pitching handedness. It's a lot of fun. And, you guys, I will be in town this week putting in a lot of NFL futures that are based off of wins from baseball so far. We're about to get to the All-Star break, man. We got half the season's gone already.
Appreciate it, buddy. Good luck today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet when we come back.